James chapter 1. We were in the book of James this morning. In verse number 3, he said this, and we were looking at it. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, we talked about your faith today. How is your faith? What is God doing with your faith? What are you letting God do through you with your faith? But now I want you to look at this thought. He said that the trying of your faith. Now read a little farther and understand a couple things. He says in verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. There's a difference between temptation and trials. There's a difference between being tempted to walk away from things of God and get into things you shouldn't in the matter of sin and immorality and those kind of things. But James is not talking about the temptation. He's talking about the trial of your faith, the test of your faith. And notice the way he says this, and as you read the rest of verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But notice how he said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, in one instance, he's talking about temptation, and he does describe to us a little bit about the temptation. He said, when we're enticed, and we are drawn away of our own lusts, our own desires. Now, in the trials, the same thing can happen. But we're not tempted to sin, but we are drawn away at times in our trials of our faith by our own desires. You say, what do you mean? Let me think about Abraham's life. Abraham, he's walking with God. God gives Abraham the promise that there's going to be a seed, there's going to be that son, he's going to have that heir, and in that son and in that heir, there'll be a seed, and in that seed will all the world be blessed. Amen? And Abraham receives a promise. But God doesn't just give him that promised son immediately. And so now, as Abraham's walking along, he begins to get drawn away of his own desires. I want that son. I want that promise. I want that. So what does Abraham do? He goes about getting that son his way. Instead of following God and waiting on God. Hello? And you know what happened with that. Now, that's what James is talking about. He said, when the trial of your faith worketh patience. When God didn't give Abraham that son immediately, he was wanting Abraham to be patient with him. We got quiet around here tonight. See, our problem in America is we think God is like the drive-thru at McDonald's. I pull up to the microphone, tell him what I want, go around the corner, pick it up. But God said, that's not the way this thing works. Amen. There's sometimes God's answer is no. Amen. But sometimes God's answer is wait. Think about Noah in his life. God told Noah to do this and build this ark. And he told him there's going to come rain. There's going to come this flood and judgment on the earth. But it didn't happen in a year. It didn't happen in 2 years. It didn't happen in 10 years. It took over 100 years. So what was Noah learning through this whole process? To be patient with God, because God's going to do what He wants to do in His time, not in ours. Amen? And so you see this as James begins to introduce this thought to us. He says there in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, nothing wavered. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so he introduces this thought to us about the trying of our faith. And folks, you say, well, preacher, how does God try my faith? Well, I bring it down to a simple thing of giving to missions, of giving to the church. You'll start tithing, you'll start giving to missions, and then all of a sudden, something happens at the house, and God is going to try your faith if you can trust Him to take care of that need, or you're going to quit giving so you can take care of that need. Amen? One of the missionaries called me years ago. We first started in this thing with All Points. One of the missionaries called me and said, what am I supposed to do? I said, what's wrong? He said, I just got this call from this church, and they said, they called to tell me that they had dropped all missionaries. I said, well, okay, that happens from time. He said, but the reason's what is aggravating. I said, what? He said, they told us they dropped all missionaries because they're getting ready to build a new fellowship hall. They're going to take all the mission support for the next 3 years, build a fellowship hall, and then after the fellowship hall is built, they're going to take all the missionaries back on. He said, what do I do? I said, have a good life. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Amen. So he calls me Monday. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, they took us all back on. I said, what? He said, well, they called on Friday. He said, Saturday, this is a church that was in the southern part of West Virginia. It was in the fall of the year. And on Saturday night, the cool of the night, they had an electronic thermostat in their building. And that thing kicked on to warm up their building for Sunday morning service. But they didn't realize when it kicked on that there had been a gas leak in the service for a couple of days. And when that pilot light ignited, it blew the building up. And they took all the missionaries back on. Hello? Amen? Hey, you say, what are you saying? The trial of your faith. Are we going to trust God? We don't stop giving to missions. We don't stop reaching the world with the gospel to do what we want to do. Amen? We learn to trust God. And so he says we're the trying of our faith. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Because tithe is scriptural, amen? The tithe is the Lord. For you to keep your tithe is to rob God, amen? And for you not to give to missions is demonstrating a lack of faith. Well, I can't tithe and give to missions and God still take care of me. You can't afford not to tithe and give to missions, amen? Hey, listen, God doesn't need your money, but you need the blessings God wants to show you from what you do. Amen? And so, he's teaching us this trial of our faith. Now watch, you say, well, preacher, why is this so important? Because he said the trial of our faith worketh patience. And then he says in can I just tell you this before I get too farther? We're the most impatient people in all the world, all right? Amen? Smile. I hope, maybe I'm not talking to people like me, amen? My wife said, you just need to stay out from underneath the wheel and let me drive. Amen. I have no patience with people on the road. Somebody say amen. Why, I'm on my way to do something for God. Why do they have to pull out in front of me, go 10 miles an hour, go 3 blocks and turn right? Somebody? Hello? But God's trying to teach us patience. Because, see, patience is God's perfect work in our life. Now watch. Because when we learn this, we learn, first of all, to trust God's plan. Go to 1 Peter chapter. You're right there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read a verse. And then I want to come back here. We learn to trust God's plan. We have patience in God's plan. 1 Peter chapter number 1. What does he say this? He talks about this trial of our faith again in verse number 7 of chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, and notice what he says, what's he say about it? Being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing, what? Your trial of your faith is going to be at the praise and honor and glory of Jesus tomorrow. No, at His appearing. Later in James chapter 5, when James is talking to him about their giving, he says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. For the Lord, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth. When you get involved in giving to missions, God is teaching you patience about the return of what you get from what you give. Because not all the benefits of what you give to in missions is going to come to you today, tomorrow, next year. The final benefit of that is going to be revealed to you when you get to heaven, amen, and you get to give an account of your life, what you've done for Christ, and now you see the fruit of your life, so you give in patience. The trial of your faith is in patience. Be patient. Why? Go back to James chapter 1, because it's not only teaching us patience, it's teaching us how to pray. You see, what do you mean it's teaching us how to pray? So what's he say? If any man, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in what? And then he said what? Not wavering. And then what's he say a few verses later? He goes down there and he says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. Verse 7, but let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then he says what? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the trial of your faith is teaching you patience. And it's teaching you how to trust God, how to walk with God in these trials of our faith. And it's teaching us how to have a prayer life. You say, what do you mean? You pray in faith, not wavering. Let me. If you don't understand what I'm saying, think about it this way. How many times have you ever heard somebody pray this? Lord, if it be your will, save that person. Now, wait a minute. If we pray like that, we're saying, if it be the will of God to save that person, so then are we saying that there's some people that's not the will of God for them to be saved? Now we're Calvinists. Amen? But we're not Calvinists. We're Bible believers. Amen? For you to pray like that, you're praying wavering. If it's God's will, he'll get saved. If it's not God's will, he won't get saved. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's the same way you learn to pray, the same way you give. If you give this month and don't give next month, if you give next week and don't give the fall, 10 weeks from now, you're unwavering, you're wavering back and forth, you're unstable. So you learn to be consistent in what you do. You learn to be consistent in your walk of faith. You learn to be trusting in your faith with God, and you learn how to pray. The prayer of faith, later in James, he said, shall save the sick. Amen? How come we can't pray like that anymore? Or we do this, don't we? Amen? We come to an altar with a problem. The pastor comes over, tells us what God can do for that. Oh, yes, we're going to let God do that. We pray. We give it to God. Then we go back, sit down in our chair, and we start figuring out what we can do to solve the problem till God decides to do what we ask Him to. Huh? It's the same way you give, amen? Well, I'll give the faith promise. If I, you know how I can do that? I'll work overtime. So you just figured out what you're going to do. Is there faith in that? So the same way we give is the same way we pray. So this trying of our faith. I gave that thought as a devotion to the missionaries. And when the missionary called me at 2:45 this morning to tell me his van was on fire, he said, "Preacher, I'm in the midst of the trial of my faith." He said, "Pray for my wife," because she said to me, he said, "I'm headed towards home." She goes, "Where are you going to stop?" He said, "I don't know." She said, "I guess you'll stop wherever that van breaks down." And she said, "I didn't mean for it to burn up." And he said, "We're in the midst of the trial of our faith." Brother Christel said, "Preacher, this is the greatest trial of our faith that we've ever been through. That we can we trust God to bring us out the other side to continue the work in Greenland?" And so now, as you learn in this trial of faith to have patience with God, that He's going to answer the prayer and do what He wants when He wants to do it, then we learn to pray in faith. We're not Joe Osteen. Somebody say amen. We're not the health and wealth crowd. Amen. Hello? If I was part of that church, I'd be ashamed of myself. When I saw the picture this week of him standing with Lady Gaga and that pride celebration, him and his wife, I'd have been ashamed to say that was my preacher. Amen. And that's been televised and I'm in trouble. Amen. But that's all right. Hey, folks, listen. We learn to pray by the trials of our faith. Because, see, you don't learn how to pray in the midst of the trial. The trial teaches you how to pray so that you pray your way through from then on. Does that make sense? Amen? If you wait till the trial hits, you're never going to learn how to pray. But when the trial comes, it ought to strengthen your prayer life that you ask in faith. Do we really believe God? The greatest illustration I've heard in my life of that is with Dr. Tom Williams. And he was preaching one day and I was listening to him. And he talked about how that he was on his way to the airport to go somewhere. And he had his wife, who was in a wheelchair at that time. And he said, "We were in this van." And so he said, I put the plane tickets in the pocket of my coat. He said, "But to get my wife in and out of the van," he said, "I took the coat off, laid it on the back seat." He said, "Got my wife unloaded, got all of our luggage checked in, got to the ticket counter to check in." And he said, "And realized the tickets." Now, this is back before you did everything on your phone. Amen. And he said, "And realized the tickets were in the coat pocket in the back seat of that van. That guy had already left." So he said, "There sit my wife and the nurse was helping us at the ticket counter." He said, "I looked at the ticket agent and said, 'I'll be back in just a few minutes.'" She said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to go get them tickets." And he said, "I stopped and said, 'Lord, you're going to have to stop that man driving that van, let him see my coat, realize he's got to bring it back here, and I'll be,'" and he said, "Well, I'll be back in a minute." And he went out to the curb and he said, "I've stood out there at the curb and the man that helped him unload their luggage said, 'What are you doing?' He said, 'I left my tickets in that van. I asked God to bring him back here, let him see it, bring him back here.' And he said, 'So I'm standing here at the curb.' And the guy said, 'You mind if I stand here and watch with you?'" He said, "Then I said, 'God, okay, now what are we going to do?'" And he made this statement. He said, about 2 minutes later, here come the guy back around. He said, "Brother Williams," he said, "I didn't get too far. Looked in the rearview mirror. There was your coat. Here's your coat. Here's your tickets." He said, "The difference between your faith and my faith, you'd have never went to the curb." To trust God. Huh? And it teaches us how to pray. You pray believing. You pray in faith. He went to that curb because he'd already prayed in faith. Huh? But let me give you one more thought tonight. You come back to James. You say, "What's this have to do with missions?" It has everything to do with missions. I'm looking at some young people in this room, and God may reach down and call a few of them to go to the mission field, and praise the Lord, I hope that He does. And it's going to take people of faith to send them, not just for them to go. You read Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out them 12 apostles, you realize what He said to those 12 apostles? He said, "You just go. Don't go on deputation. Don't go borrow money. Don't get another coat from the house. Just go. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take anything. Don't take a script. Don't take a bag to put it in if somebody gives it to you. Just go." Can you imagine the faith it took for them to just go? But then they would show up at somebody's house. You understand how that worked in those days? They would come around to... I just went had a brain freeze, brother. Amen. Red K, Brother Red K's house. And they would knock on your door and they said, "Peace be unto you." And you'd say, "Well, peace be unto you." And they said, "Oh, you're a believer. Yeah, we're here to stay." Think about that, amen. How long are you staying? God's done. Can you imagine him answering the door, going to tell his wife, hey, Peter, John, and James are here. They're going to stay for a while. They're what? I know how my wife is, amen. Our kids are coming home for Christmas. She cleans. She works for months. Amen? Hello? So it took as much faith for them to go as it did for them that would sustain them to take care of them. Because they showed up unannounced. Faith works on both ends. God calls a young couple out of this church to go to the mission field. It'll take as much faith for them to go, and it'll take the same amount of faith for you to give and pray and help sustain them as they go. This prayer, this faith life goes both ways, but we've got to teach some young people how to live by faith. Some young people that can trust God, that are patient and let God do what God wants to do in their life, but yet let God answer their prayers and be people of faith. We're missing that. Huh? And where are they going to learn that? Right here, watching you. So go back to James chapter number 1. So it teaches us to trust God with patience. It teaches us how to pray with God in our prayer life. And then watch this. He gets down here to chapter 1 and he goes in verse number 9. He said, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I love that passage of Scripture, because look what he says, verse 9, the brother of low degree rejoicing that he is exalted. But then the rich man is made low. You know what God does? God equals the playing field in this matter of faith. It may take a man or it takes a man and a woman, a married couple that's on retirement, Social Security. It'll take as much faith or more for them to give their faith promise than the guy that has a six-figure job. He may give 10 times what they give, but it'll take more faith for them to give it than him. Because they're giving out of their necessity. They're like the widow woman that cast in the 2 mites, and she had given all of her living. She took a step of faith. So this matter of faith now puts our position with God on a level playing field. Tithing is the most equal thing that God ever put into existence. Amen? If you make $10 a week, you give $1. If you make $1,000 a week, you give $100. It's 10% of whatever it is. It equals the playing field. It puts everybody in the same position with God. Because later in chapter 2, he said, we're not to have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in respect of persons. Huh? You know what we do when we do that? We look at back in history, and I'm about done. We look back in history, and we say, look what God did with Adoniram Judson. Look what God did with Hudson Taylor. Look what God did with men and ladies of days gone by, and we think God can't do that anymore. The problem's not God. The problem's us. Because now we have faith in respect of persons. Huh? I could never do that. Why not? God's still real. God's still in control. those Bibles laying out there on that table. Hey, listen, I was telling the Sunday school, we're past 35,000 of those that have been provided. That church that gives them to us, the first ones that we had printed, I asked him how much it would be. He said $1,250 for 5,000 of them. I said, print them. I got in the car. My wife said, how much are they? $1,250. But we don't have $1,250. I said, no, but God does. I'm waiting to see where it comes from. And we left that church and drove to Mercer, Pennsylvania and preached Sunday morning for Brother Chuck Schwartz at Bible Baptist Church in Mercer, Pennsylvania. The church service hadn't even started. A lady come in the back door, hey, preacher, I've been waiting for you to come. I said, okay, I don't know about this, amen. She walks up and hands me a check. She said, I've been waiting for you to come so I could give this to you. This was for you and them chaplains you work with. And it was a check for $1,000. I looked at my wife, I said, hold on to this, amen. And she said, well, we're only $250 short. We left there and drove to Springfield, Ohio. And the preacher said, I want you to go to the junior church class. I said, why? I don't have grandkids there. Amen. And he said, no, you need to go down. And went down there. And the Sunday school or the junior church leader said, Brother Morrison, we've been waiting for this all year. Said, all year we take an offering every year for a particular mission project. And said, this year we've taken it up for you and the chaplain ministry. And they handed me a Walmart bag full of money. And he said, by the way, there's $287 in that bag. We gave out all those Bibles. I went back to the pastor and I said, hey, I need some more Bibles. I just got to get $1,250. He said, no, you don't. He said, we printed those, gave them to you. He said, I went back and to do something else. He said, there's more money in our Bible account than when we started and we gave those to you. Just whatever you want them, just call. They're yours. They're free. God knows what He's doing. And He levels the playing field and He says to us, the low degree will be raised up, the rich will be brought down. Everybody's on the same plane when it comes to this matter of faith. And we're not to respect people. Now, I'm not saying, okay, that's not right. We're not to respect people. We're not to have the faith of God in respect of persons. Hello? Who is the one person you look up to that you think has the greatest faith you've ever seen? And God said, and you can do that. Because I am not a respecter of persons. I'm not going to give you something that I won't give Him. As a young man in your life, understand something. Whatever God has done for your mom and dad, He can do that for you and more. But we're not teaching this generation that. So this matter of the trial of your faith, there comes a time when God's going to put your faith to a test. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Noah. He's done it with every character in the Bible. Go through and read it. He put their faith to a test if they would trust Him. Huh? Why? Patience. When I pastored, there was a lady came. Her name was Dorothy Harris. She was the sweetest Christian lady you'd ever want to meet in your life. I said, where's your husband? She said, oh, no, preacher. He doesn't come. I'd go out there to visit Claude, sit and drink his coffee. We'd talk about fishing and hunting. And then when I'd start witnessing to him, he'd say, that's enough. I'd go out there again months later. All the 12 years I pastored, I'd visit him two or three times a year. I'd get to witness to him. He'd say, that's enough. I left, went into mission work. Pastor took over, go out there and do the same thing. She prayed for him for 42 years. One day my phone rang. It was Dorothy Harris. said, Brother Morrison. I said, what? She said, Claude got saved. Be patient. Be patient. You know what Claude said to me? He said, I wish I'd have listened to you all those years, Eric. They finally got saved. Why? Because God has a plan, and we got to trust Him. The trial of your faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Help us. Dear Father, help us. Move in our hearts, Lord, as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You may be in the trial. You may be coming out of the trial. You may be headed to one. But God's trying to teach us to have patience, how to pray, and our position with God. You can get a prayer answered as much as I can. While they begin to play, God begins to speak to your heart. Won't you come to an altar and say, God, I want to pass the test. I don't want to fail the test of my trial, the trial of my faith. I don't want to fail it. There's some at an altar today. Would you join him and say, God, help me? We need people of faith. But we're failing the trials so much that we can't get anything done for God. Say, but preacher, I failed. Then pray, ask God to forgive you. Get back up and start walking. And when the next trial comes, say, God, I want to pass this test this time.